Greetings, dear friends, in the Savior's worthy name. Here's a thought that you might find interesting. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ reveals the love of God at its best and the sin of man at its worst. Join me in prayer. Eternal God and Father, through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and ask your blessing upon every listener. There are those listeners who need to be encouraged and strengthened and made aware of the fact that thou art ever near. You have promised never to leave nor to forsake one of your children. There are others out there, our Father, who have never been responsive to your invitation. To this point, they have rejected the Lord Jesus, and to die in their sins is to make no avail of the crosswork of thyself. Speak to them, Father, lest they die in their sin and weep and wail for all eternity, when, as an alternative, they could trust the Lord Jesus Christ and experience the new birth and go on their way rejoicing through this life and eternity to come. So whatever the needs of every listener, you can meet them, Heavenly Father, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we ask it all. Amen. For the past several broadcasts, we have been emphasizing the fact that the Bible teaches us about several judgments. Many people tell you today that there is a general resurrection and a general judgment. But the Bible speaks specifically of a number of judgments. And in recent broadcasts, we have seen how these judgments vary. First of all, they vary as to those who are the subjects of each judgment, the place that the judgment takes place, the time of the judgment, and the result of the judgment. And when you read about a judgment in the Word of God, put these four questions to that particular scripture reference. Who's being judged? When? Where? And what are the results of that judgment? The first judgment that we considered was the judgment of sin in the believer. That is, when the Lord Jesus Christ took our place at Calvary. The judgment for believers in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It took place about 33 A.D. at a place called Golgotha, Calvary, right outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And the result of this judgment was death. Death for the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, and eternal life for all of us who would in days to follow respond to his loving invitation and trust him as Savior. This was the first judgment we looked at. Judgment for believers as it took place in the Lord Jesus. And then in our last broadcast, we began to consider judgment of sin in the life of the believer. Once I have become a believer, once I have received by faith the gift of eternal life through trusting Christ, then what? Though he's given me eternal life, does this give me the license to live any way that I jolly well please? No, certainly not. That's the devil's lie. I have been saved. Well, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Friend, we are not saved by our good works. We are saved by the good work the Lord Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. But having been saved by the work of Calvary, by the person of the Lord Jesus, we are saved unto good works. That is, we are saved for the privilege and purpose of living for his glory and honor. But once we are saved, what happens to the believer that does sin? What happens when we do stumble? Well, then, judgment takes place. It takes place in my life when I sin. You as a Christian, God deals with it in your life. It can take place anywhere. It takes place anytime. What are the results? It's chastisement by the Lord if we judge not ourselves. Now we read from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and verses 5, 6, and 7. I want you to listen carefully to what we have here. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Note carefully, Christian. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Indeed, our God, our Heavenly Father, chastens us. He deals with us. Allow me to put it in our own vernacular. He whips us. He disciplines us. Just as a good father will discipline his own children. If you're one of those that does not believe in disciplining your children, I would encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. Read the wisdom that God gave by the Holy Spirit through Solomon. And a good father, a loving father, an honest father will discipline his own earthly children. And so God the Heavenly Father, once we are sons of God through the new birth, and that's what it is that brings us into God's family, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. And that's why we read in John 3 that ye must be born again. The first birth placed us in the family of Adam. It fitted us for an earthly existence. But the second birth, the spiritual birth, the heavenly birth, places us into the family of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And because we are his children, his sons, his daughters, because we have been born into his family, cleansed by that precious blood and made heirs of God, then a loving heavenly Father chastens, disciplines, spanks those, if you will, who disobey him. We read in 1 Corinthians 11:31-32, for this reason many are sickly among you, and some sleep. Yes, beloved, thank God he will not let his child continue in sin. He will chastise us. He will discipline us. He will bring us back to himself, just as he did in Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah disobeyed God. God said to go one way. Jonah went the other way. And my, how God dealt with him and how God turned him about. He was chastened of the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts, they disobeyed God. That is, they misrepresented what they were giving to God. And you will recall the story. Both of them paid for their sin with their lives. Peter, three times over, he denied his Lord. And three times over, Peter had to make a confession of his love for the Lord Jesus. Be not deceived, Christian friend. Our God is not mocked. And whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. That is, the Christian who disobeys and dishonors and goes contrary to the instruction that we find in the Word of God, he can expect the disciplining hand, the heavy hand of his God moving upon him. Not that God snatches away eternal life. He took away that eternal life, then he didn't give us eternal life. He only gave us life on probation. He gave us life on trial. He gave us temporary life. He gave us conditional life, if he can and will take it away. But praise God, he says, he that has the Son has eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Our God is a God of his word. Our God cannot lie, Paul told Titus. He is the God of eternity. And the God of truth, Jesus said, I am the truth. And the one who is the truth said, I'll give those who trust me, undeserving and unworthy as they be, I'll give them eternal life. But bless your heart, he says also, whom he loves, he's going to chasten. He's going to discipline. And if you're getting by without discipline today, examine yourself, friend, as to whether or not you be in the faith. Check in the book of Hebrews where it says, if ye are without discipline, then are you illegitimate and not sons. That's the New American Standard. He spanks his own. He deals with us because he loves us. But let's go on to another judgment. We have referred to now judgment of sin as to the believer that took place at Calvary, the result being death for Christ and eternal life for whosoever will. We have, in our last broadcast and today, mentioned judgment of sin in the believer. That is, while the believer is living, the sins that he commits, whether omission or commission, that is, sins that you do in violation of Scripture or sins of neglect, God deals with you anywhere, anytime. He chastens those that he loves. But then we get to judgment of believer's life. That is, after we have died, or after the Lord Jesus has come back and raptured the church and taken us away to be with himself, the Bible tells us about the judgment that will take place in view of the believer's life, or as we refer to it, the judgment seat of Christ. Now then, let's put those four little tests to it. Who are they that will be judged at that time? They're believers, Christians, saints, those who experience new birth and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and his gift of eternal life. Incidentally, you cannot get eternal life without Jesus Christ. And if you've got Jesus Christ, you must have eternal life, God being true. I have illustrated oftentimes in speaking to boys in the correctional institution and tell them it's like a pair of handcuffs, something they could relate to. Both hands go together when they're handcuffed. Both pair of handcuffs, both ends of a pair of handcuffs, I should say, are linked together by that inseparable chain. And so it is our God joins together in an inseparable fashion Jesus Christ and eternal life. They must go together. You cannot have one without the other. And what God hath joined together, let not man seek to put asunder. But then concerning the believer's life, the judgment that's going to take place after we're with him, it'll take place in the air. We're going to read the scripture about it in just a moment. It'll take place when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And the results to the believers will be either reward or loss. But the scripture goes on to say that he himself shall be saved. Reading first from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15, if you will. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work. Please note, Christian, of what sort it is. Our God is interested primarily in quality, more so than quantity. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What does the scripture teach us? It teaches us that our God is going to test our works. And according to what we did as unto him, and for his glory, he's going to reward us. There will be those who will get rewards. There will be those who will suffer loss. But it says, they shall be saved, yet so as by fire. They shall be saved just by the grace of God. Could we not say it today? By the very skin of their teeth. Reading from 2 Corinthians now, that first passage was 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15, in case you want to check it out. Now we're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all... Who is Paul writing to in this second letter to the Corinthians? He's writing to Christians, to believers. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is different from the great white throne judgment. Lord willing, we'll get to that in a few broadcasts. But they're distinct as to time, as to place, as to people who are involved, and certainly according to the results. We as Christians, we as believers, we as those who have been born again must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the beam of God, it's called, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. It also has been rendered whether it be good or useless. Friend, those of us who are in Christ are saved by the grace of God. He has given us and assured us of eternal life. And yet he says you're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for rewards. Now, it's indeed a solemn thought that though Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and God has entered into covenant with us to remember our sins no more, every work must come into judgment. The life, the works of the believer will be reviewed by the Lord. And it says in Romans 14, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll reward us. More on this in our next broadcast. Praise God. He has something for those who serve him in eternity. He has eternal life for all who will trust him.